Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real. While you listen to this podcast and think about the topics we'll explore, remember that the areas you're moving into are always most important. Always prepare for what you're about to do, and always know what's happening while you're doing it. That's how you move to protect others and yourself. Now, from headquarters, here's our host, Jason Francis.
All right, welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real. Who do we got with us today, Travis?
We have Sam Gardella, Director of Customer Service.
Yes, thank you guys for having me today.
Thank you for being here.
Customer service on which fleet?
The flatbed division.
The flatbed division, them skateboard guys. Okay, yeah. This could be interesting. So how long have you been here at Rail?
I have been at Rail. It'll be 11 years in April.
11 years?
Yeah.
I had no idea you've been here that long. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going on 11 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I started in our dry van division as a customer service assistant. So I made our pickup and delivery appointments and helped get our driver set up, and then kind of moved into customer service role, customer service rep. I did some load planning, and then I was a market owner in the dry van division until about a year and a half ago I moved into my role as director of customer service for flatbed.
Well, you clearly did a great job on your way up.
Thank
you. No doubt about that. That's not even that long to make all those moves. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely was. I had a really great leader and team that definitely identified my potential and was willing to help me grow as long as I was willing to learn.
And that's one thing we're good at here at Rail, is finding the potential in people and then helping it grow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I'm a product of that, but I see it within people in all of our teams throughout the company.
What exactly do you do in your role here now? I mean, what is Director of Customer Service?
So I oversee our flatbed, our curtain side, and our specialized divisions. So in customer service, that means a lot of things, right? So we work with our customers to make sure we're really bringing in freight that optimizes our driver's time. I work with Kimberly, the president of our division, along with Mitch LeGrand, my counterpart in the operations world, and our pricing team to make sure we're looking at pricing loads for our customers and taking care of them on that front. And then we also set up planning for our drivers, right? So I oversee that whole team. So I have a group of leaders, we call them market owners, that oversee different areas of the country, and they oversee our customer service reps and our planning team. So I have a group of just over 30 people that report up through me, and we make sure that, you know, we really balance all sides of that value triangle. We talk about our customer, our team, and our profitability.
Value triangle.
Yeah.
This is new to me.
We got to make the team, drivers, people that support drivers, everything, all those people happy. Then you got to make the customer happy.
Yeah.
And then the last one was?
The company profitability. What are we here for?
And I bet you that one's on the bottom of that triangle, right? The bottom line.
It's an equilateral triangle. Equilateral triangle.
So and how to balance things out when there's an imbalance, which I think is inevitable at times?
Yeah, absolutely. There are times where the needs of a customer or a driver or the company can kind of outweigh. And that's where my team comes in, right? They make those decisions every single day on every single driver and every single shipment for every customer to decide if we have to lean one way or the other and when we have to lean back the other way to recreate that balance that we need.
And when you have to lean, you keep everybody in the know of why there's a lean and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I mean, we look at balancing all of the options, and there are cases where we have to look at, you know, something might come up for a driver or a customer or even the company that becomes more important, but we want to talk about why this time it's different, right? And why it's important that we make a choice that maybe we normally wouldn't. And we make sure everyone involved is aware of the whys.
So when we talked to Mitch, he mentioned the freight market right now and some of the challenges we're facing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges you're seeing from the customer service side of things?
I would say it's really similar to what Mitch talked about, right? Just in general, we saw quite a few years of a really strong freight market. And so in the last, I would say, year, just a little bit longer, we saw some of the fallout of that. But what I would tell you is that right now, I would say in the last few weeks, from my perspective, we've seen a lot of signs that maybe there's a balance coming back to that and there are things coming back to life. We've had customers that we haven't heard from in a while seeking us out. Some just really good signs. We saw some of the like corporate metrics that we look at that are, or industry, I should say, metrics that we look at that are showing positive signs of those markets improving. The reality is, you know, a company like Rail, we've been in business over 60 years and we were set up to weather through a rough market. Not all companies can say that. And unfortunately, we've seen companies exiting the industry because of some of the trouble that they've seen. And fortunately, here at Rail, we've been well positioned to make it through and come out on the other side. We have a really great team. And, you know, I think we fared a lot better than other people.
And what is it about Rail? What is it? Give me the details. Give the listeners details. What makes Rail strong through those inclement conditions?
You know, one of the things that we like to talk about when we're pricing and when we're talking to our customers about, you know, the value of Rail, right? We have a value. We take care of our customers. But when the market goes up, we don't run to the very top of it and price gouge. But when the market goes down, we would expect that same back. You know, we really look in our customer base for people that want to be strategic long-term partners with us. We're not looking, you know, there'll always be a place for a transactional customer because we always need that.
The spot stuff.
Correct. Yep, the spot stuff. There will always have a need for that to be a filler in our place. But our long-term goal is really looking at those strategic partners that we want to partner with long-term and grow with, that see the value of Rail and don't just see a price tag on a piece of paper.
And what can drivers do to help keep that strong?
Yeah, so one of the unique things that we've seen in flatbed, we have customers that actually look at our on-time service, and based on that, they award us freight, right? So we have some customers that give us like a service factor score, and that determines our position in where we get freight. So even if we have a really great competitive rate, if we have a service factor multiplier that pulls us really high because our on-time service isn't great, that can absolutely affect how much we're getting. So that would be one of, I think, the biggest focuses is, you know, understanding what our customers want. One of the things we've started doing in all of our divisions is the utilization of verbal dispatch. And so we have gone to putting in notes for our fleet manager teammates to call our driving teammates to tell them exactly what they need to know about this location or this customer. So in flatbed, we talk a lot about securement, right? What are the expectations for how we secure this load? What do you need to bring in with you when you come? Where do you need to leave it? Just so that we're meeting our customers' expectations. And then specifically for those customers that look at like that service factor score, service multiplier, really focusing on meeting their expectations for pickup and delivery times.
Be on time. And if you're not, if you can't be on time, whether illness, call, communicate.
Absolutely. And that's always the big piece. You know, at Rail, we value safety, and on-time service doesn't come above everything else, right? We want to be safe while we're doing it, taking care of, you know, the motoring public and our drivers and our customer freight and, you know, kind of all the things that happen. And we absolutely want to make sure we communicate if we cannot meet their expectations.
And secure that freight, protect the freight with the tarp if you need the tarp or whatever, plastic wrap, whatever.
Absolutely.
And here I thought it was just my reefer team that had to hit them appointment times.
No, what's unique about flatbed is we actually work with job site deliveries. And yep. So a lot of times that means they've rented cranes or they have a crew waiting to unload. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to be on time, that means they're paying to rent equipment that they can't use potentially, mm-hmm. or they're paying for a team of people to be there that aren't going to have anything to do. And that's a frustrating point for our customers when we don't talk to them ahead of time. You know, there's a big difference between when you go to a grocery warehouse and maybe they can pull another driver in early versus when you're waiting for one trailer that's coming in bringing you everything you're doing today, and it can really delay those job sites. That's not all we do, but it's a big piece of it.
Right on. I was part of your flatbed team for a little while. I was a curtain side driver.
Yeah, Jess Johnson told me that. She said she was your fleet manager.
Yeah, she was. It wasn't a real long stretch. I was reefer driver most of my life, and now I work on the reefer team, but I did it for a short stretch. I was on the curtain side there, and that was kind of unique, too, because we were delivering to all the job sites, and we were delivering to, like, home improvement warehouses and stuff, because we deliver those custom doors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And those were kind of neat, because we called and set up our own appointments as a driver. So,
but you still had to be on time.
Yeah, but you felt really bad if you didn't make that time.
Yeah. Yeah, the curtain side division is unique in how we manage that. A lot of their freight is multi-stop.
Mm-hmm.
So like some of the door loads you're talking about, they can span 10, 12 stops sometimes mm-hmm. on one trailer. And so instead of us trying to guesstimate when we're coming in, we do have the drivers. You know, we let them know this is the hours that they're opened. Call them a day ahead of time and let them know when you're going to be there. But there's always variables that affect that.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's what you ran into. If you go somewhere and they take a little bit longer than you think they should, or there's problems with product or traffic or weather,
then it's messing up the next stops of that load.
Absolutely.
You just communicate that though, right?
I'm just saying, as a driver, you know, you fight against the system the whole time. I know it's not right, but it's just a mindset. And now all of a sudden they give you the authority, call and make your own appointments and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel terrible if I'm half an hour late, you know? But yes, on-time service is very important in all of our divisions. Like I tell my drivers, it's the one thing that we have here to sell.
Mm-hmm.
There's always another carrier that will haul that freight.
Mm-hmm.
They may even do it cheaper, but customers pay our rate because of Rail's on-time service.
So. Yeah, the value of rail, absolutely.
And speaking of value, we value safety. So like you said earlier, we don't put on time ahead of being safe.
Correct. Absolutely. Communication is where that comes in, exactly like what we've talked about. As long as we communicate, you know, I was talking to one of our other leaders. We had our biannual sales meetings last week. And I was talking to one of the other leaders, and we actually brought on a customer in the reefer division, but we were late. We brought an inbound load, but our team communicated the entire time. And that receiver came to us and said, how do I bring you on as a customer? And, you know, Kevin, he laughed. He said, we were late for your shipment. And she said, yeah, but you talked to us about it. And we don't get that from everyone else. You know, absolutely, when we don't provide service, we provide communication. And that goes a long way so that they can rearrange and plan ahead.
Well, there's nothing worse than waiting for something or someone and they don't show up and you haven't heard from them.
Exactly. Yeah, and you have to wonder all the things that would go through someone's head. Is everyone okay? Is there, you know, or are they just blowing us off? What's the situation and what's going on? So I feel like when you don't communicate, there's so much to be desired, and it leaves a lot to the imagination, and so it creates a lot of frustration.
And it's just unprofessional to leave people hanging.
Absolutely.
When we all got things to do, money to make.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was pricing and stuff. I know we have a team that does that. But, I mean, how is that set up? Do we go, like, this is what so-and-so is charging, this is what so-and-so is charging, we're going to go down the middle? Or, I mean, how does that kind of a situation work?
I would highly suggest you have Beth Goulet on your podcast. But I can give you an insight. So we use a few different market sources compared with, you know, historical things that we've done. one of the big things when we look at pricing is understanding what the customer's goals are, right? Is price the only factor? Do they look at our history, right? We call that being an incumbent carrier. Do we look at how long we've serviced a lane? Do they look at service as a factor or claim status? There are so many factors that come in to us deciding how we price. And what we always tell our sales team is that the more information they can give us, the more precise we can be in our pricing. So when we look at flatbed, are we going to difficult job sites? Because sometimes that means we have to do things that cost more money to make sure that that happens. And we try to vary all those factors along with, you know, the market dictates some of it, right? If, you know, a carrier is doing it for half the price of what we're going to offer, if they don't see the value in rail, there's not an incentive to come to us. So really looking at those outside industry factors to understand kind of what's happening in the marketplace, we stay really in tune with that, along with really understanding the variables for that customer.
Again, relaying communication stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to veer off topic here for a minute. I walk by your desk all the time. I see your screensaver on your desk. Why do you have a picture of my dog on your desk?
which one do you think is yours?
I'm just joking. We have a golden doodle as well.
Yeah, so I have two dogs. Ruby, she will be 4 in June. She is part Siberian Husky, part miniature poodle.
So that's the other one.
Yes, the other one. Yep. Yeah, so she's about 30 pounds, full grown. Her mom was a Siberian Husky. Her dad was a tan miniature poodle. She looks like a little German Shepherd is what a lot of people tell us she looks like. And then we have Penny. She's our golden doodle. She is 85-pound, really big girl. Heart of gold, not a whole lot going on upstairs. She is intelligent to learn.
I'm still convinced it's my dog. You've described her to a
common sense. Common sense is just not there. But she's so sweet. So sweet. And it's funny because we're neighbors.
I don't know exactly where you live, but I know you live in Point.
So. Yeah.
What if your dogs got switched and you didn't even know it?
I would never know the difference, but that's my wife's dog.
Yeah, so I would.
She would know immediately.
I would too.
My wife would, but it's funny. We got ours at the Clark County Humane Society. We have always had the blue heeler sorts.
Oh yeah.
Cattle dogs and stuff like that. That's always what I've had. Always what I've grown up with. We had two of them. One 8 or 9 years old, and the other one was really old. And the really old one passed away, and we went a month or two without, and the one we had remaining was all sad and dejected, so we decided we're going to go get him a friend. We go to the Clark County Humane Society, and somebody had just surrendered 3 of those golden doodles.
Fate.
And my wife was just like, oh my God, they're so cute, we got to have one. I'm like, no, we do not. You're going to have to cut that dog's hair. You know, it's going to be high maintenance dog.
Should have got all 3, man.
That's what I'm thinking.
I do not want a golden doodle. So, of course, we came home with the golden doodle. And
it really has a compromise.
I have to admit, it's been a fantastic dog. She's a, what do we call it, aggressive cuddler. So if you're sitting on the couch, she will be on your lap. So.
Yep. Ours too. 85-pound lap dog. Eager to please, though. Very eager to please, which makes her easy to train. And she is very well behaved. I agree.
Do you go over to the dog park there in Point all the time?
No, or? I have a fenced in backyard, so I don't have to do that.
You got it made.
Yeah, yeah. We fenced our backyard when we bought our house a few years ago before we got her. So they have fun. And in our block, so Rube's is 30 pounds, Penny's 85. Our neighbor dogs are like 10 pounds soaking wet, but they come over and run like they're 85-pound dogs. Mm-hmm. So in our little block of the neighborhood, it's like a dog park in my backyard most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now when we have spring in February, but normally.
I go over to the dog park quite often. She just loves to run. The other one now is getting really old, and he's like, once around is plenty for me. I'll wait here by the gate. But But yeah, I go there a lot. So what else do you do on your off time? Is there a family, husband, kids?
Yeah, so I have a husband. We've been married 5 years, been together 14. So we don't have any kids, just our fur kids, the two pups. But in our free time, we like to play card games, board games. We like to check out local breweries and distilleries.
You should get good food there.
Yes, yep. We're foodies. We like to go.
Okay. What's your favorite place?
For breweries?
Yeah.
So actually, just recently, we went to District 1. But I'm going to tell you, in Marshfield, our friend Scott has Hop and Grape, and I would tell you that the options for beer and wine are phenomenal, and the service is next to none. So I'd absolutely recommend.
What's it called? Hop and Grape?
Yes. Yep. It's here right in Marshfield over behind Culver's.
District 1 is in Stevens Point. I know where that one is.
Yeah. We actually just checked that out recently. I hadn't been there yet. It's called Lucky's now out in Plover. I don't remember what the name was prior. They have some Oso options. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we like to go out to Oso's too.
Yeah. I was just in District 1 last weekend.
Okay.
A friend of mine's band was playing there, and I went to check it out. I did not stay very long because it was very full of people, and I'm not a big people person. So I saw all the people, and I stayed for one beer, and I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, we did trivia there Tuesday night, and I couldn't believe how many people were there for trivia. I couldn't believe how big it was to have that many people.
It's kind of a neat setup there. The college kids go back there and play all those games they got back there. It's kind of neat. It's like an old-school arcade back there.
Yeah, it is.
And, of course, they always got the taco truck out front. I hit that a lot.
Yeah. Me too.
So any other traveling, pastimes, hobbies?
Why is this such a hard question?
What's your favorite board game?
Okay, so one of my favorite board games was Catan. But what I will tell you is that I normally, in board and card games, I beat my husband a lot. It's pure luck, right? Not strategy. Catan is the one game that he actually beat me at. And so he won't rematch me in it because it's like his claim to fame.
Yeah, he doesn't want to lose that. I understand perfectly.
Yeah, it's claim to fame. Yeah, he does on that one game. Every other board game or card game or whatever else, somehow I have a lucky streak, and that was the one. The first time we played it, he beat me. But it was really fun. It was a very neat game.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, you like collect resources, but it's one of those things, you know, when you play like a card game, it's really obvious how many cards you have left in your hand and if you're getting close to going out. And in that game, you collect resources and you're kind of building, but you're working towards points. And nobody else really knows how many points you're at before you go out. And so when he won, I was like just seconds from beating him, but he got to it first. Mm. So it's just interesting because it's not as obvious who's in the lead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. I'm not a real big board game guy.
Yeah.
I'm old. I like Monopoly.
Monopoly's fun, yeah.
It is.
I like that. My wife hates playing it with me because I always seem to win somehow, but I don't know what I'm doing differently. I just buy the big properties and hope she lands on them. That's all.
Boardwalk.
Yeah.
Hotels. What else? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything new happening around these parts? Around rail? Anything new that drivers to know that would be good?
Yeah. One of the things, and maybe Mitch touched on this, one of the things that we changed is the length of our securement training.
Oh, we had a whole interview with Deb?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yep.
You just bring it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that was one of the big things that we've changed. You know, we recognized a better way to prepare our driving teammates was to just give them more training in that space. So we moved our securement from just being a few days to being a whole week long.
In Gary, right?
Yeah, down in Gary and managed by a couple of what used to be our local drivers, and they're just doing a phenomenal job in that space with training and identifying real-life areas where maybe we didn't do something as great as we could have, and they help fix those things, right? And so that's been really unique in our world and one of the newer things that we've implemented. teaching our drivers and training them to handle their product safely and make sure we're getting it from A to B, how they intended it to get there.
Yeah.
You got anything else, Travis?
I don't think so. You got anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Well, what do you say we ask our big survey question? And you can blame Jess for this. She came up with it.
Which Jess?
Jessica Johnson.
Oh, okay.
This is her fault. We interviewed her like a year ago, and we've been asking the same question since because it was so good.
On and off.
All right.
If you could have three people over for a dinner party, any three people in the world, alive or dead, who would those three people be and why?
Oh, my goodness. That is a really good question.
Yes, it is. We get some interesting answers.
What's your favorite answer?
Churchill. Last week we got somebody said they wanted to talk to Winston Churchill, and I was like, ooh, that would be interesting. So
this is a really hard question. I live in a really simple town. Never thought about something like this. Let me think.
And it doesn't have to be. I mean, just whatever comes to mind. You know, you're whoever.
If I could have anyone.
Anyone.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, all of the publicity that the Kelce family is getting, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs.
With Taylor and.
I don't care about Taylor Swift. I would really like Jason and Travis Kelce and his wife Kylie Kelce. She's funny. They have their own podcast. They're very fun characters to listen to.
I think you should arrange that for Travis.
Yeah. Podcast guy to podcast, guys.
There have them go. On the podcast along yeah. with the British history.
There you go. There you
probably
go.
Bring Taylor if you wanted. I'm sure there's some Swifties upstairs that would be happy.
We would get some serious
boosts. Oh my yeah. God. We would definitely that would get a boost. Some Swifties would be happy about that. But
and,
I think...
and Rhiannon upstairs would be beating down the door.
More than just
oh,
her.
We have a crowd, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of Swifties upstairs.
We have to sneak
upstairs.
Them in. Then, so.
Well, that is an interesting group of people, and I appreciate that. That's for sure. I don't know what I would talk about with the Kelce family because I don't know very much about them. But
yeah, my husband, he's from... he was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey, so he's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Poor guy, I know. And Jason Kelce just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles, so big fan.
I had just never been much of a sports ball guy kind of guy, you know.
He's by far a bigger hockey fan, so Philadelphia Flyers are where it's at for him. But
it's kind of funny when the Packer games come on, my wife brings her friends over, and they watch the football game, and I go in the other room.
It's usually the opposite, right?
What?
It's usually the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't really have any interest
in it. I don't
get
in either.
As far as sports go, if I'm going to watch any sports, it's NASCAR. I always got a kick out of that. Not really so much the driving, even. I'm kind of a big nerd with the car setup and all that kind of stuff, you know. I play the video game all the time. I'm obsessed with the NASCAR video game.
You got to get the VR and the steering wheel, man.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know. I just can't justify the expense.
Oh, yeah. Those steering wheels, man, they're like $500.
Yeah,
oh,
I can't justify
headset and the
expense.
System, yeah.
No, not when you have a golden doodle. You have to get groomed every month.
That's right. Well, not quite that often, but yeah, quite often. I don't have anything else unless you got something else.
Nope. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Keeping It Rail. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. Be safe out there, you guys.
And serve our customers well.
Exactly.